Well, good morning again. I want to say thank you on behalf of the staff. Not that the rest of the staff doesn't have the mic, but I know they would say the same thing. I said it to Trevor. Trevor and I were talking about it this morning before church, that this, you guys are an awesome church. You guys are an awesome church. It is the honor of my life to serve with you and be here. We are so blessed. My family is so blessed. And I also would say that I'm blessed to serve with this staff. I know you guys know this, but we have a wonderful staff. They are awesome. And you know, I read a book a couple of years ago, and he talked about different types of ministry. He talked about silo ministry. Anybody ever heard about silo ministry? Where you have your some of you farmers know what a silo is, you know, where you store the grain and where you got, everyone has their own silo. You got the children's silo, and you got the adult silo, and you got the youth silo, and you got the worship silo. And the point of the book was, that's not how to do ministry. And I want to tell you that that's not how we do ministry here. If something needs to be done, we just jump in there and do it. And this staff is so incredible, and you guys are so incredible. And I'm just blessed. I feel very, very, very blessed. Cheryl and I talk about that all the time, how blessed we are to be a part of this church. So thank you. Thank you for the love offering as well. If you are visiting with us this morning, if you're our guest, you know, I don't know how other churches are, but we want you here. I mean, this is not an exclusive crowd. We like new people. So if you are our guest this morning, I hope you feel welcome, and I hope you feel the love of Christ. I hope you feel that Holy Spirit that we just sang about in this place. There is a card with a blue stripe that says guest in the seat pocket in front of you, and would love for you to fill that out if you're our guest today. And if you don't want to do that, that's okay too. But if you are willing to do that, let us know you were here. I'll be out in the foyer, have a free gift for our guests at the end of the service, and would love to meet you. So glad that you are here. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, Carlene didn't know it, but Carlene's basically already given my sermon, so I'm just going to read this scripture. We're going to sing a song and go home. Amen. I knew I would get an amen from that. And I think that came from my youth pastor. That is wrong, man. I just bragged on you, man. I just bragged on you. Golly. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Now, Christ is not a name. Christ is a title. Messiah, the anointed one. That's who they are proclaiming. He's here. "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we are We are blessed that you are with us. We rejoice in this word of God. We ask you, Holy Spirit, now to speak to us, speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
An angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have, Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby, and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel. She said, this donkey's fast. Well, they tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel we're seeing.
And then the shepherd said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one that I have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly.
Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
I played that a couple of years ago. I was telling somebody this morning, it's kind of like singing Silent Night. You almost have to watch that every Christmas. I love that from the kids. So we are continuing the Advent sermon series, The Promised King. The Promised King. Last week we talked about how this Messiah had been foretold. The prophets foretold that. And even the angel foretold at the very end there when told Mary and Joseph what was getting ready to happen, but it had been foretold for a couple of thousand years. Today's message is the angels proclaimed. The angels proclaimed. And now it is a joke. We are going to do the sermon. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that, Brent. But it is amazing that Carlene and I didn't talk, and her message was spot on for the children and what I'm going to share with you today. But I want us to look at the two basic things that the angels did when they appeared to the shepherds. What did the angels do? The first thing the angels did is they proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. They proclaimed who Jesus is, what he came to do, the good news. Now, I love that phrase. We talk about the good news. Did you know, church, that we have good news? We have the same news that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds. Good news. Jesus is, not only is he coming, but he's here. And he has come and he has accomplished all that he said that he was going to accomplish. Now, I was thinking, good news for, man, if ever a world needed good news, it's today, church. I mean, I've said this before, but it's hard for me to watch the news these days. I think it can just kind of poison us if we watch too much of it. But at the same time, I try to balance because I also want to know what's going on in our world. If ever a world needed good news, it's today. And I think about what is that good news? What is the good news that Jesus has come? What did he bring? I mean, why is it good news? Well, we don't have to be sad. We don't have to be lonely. We don't have to feel like no one loves us. Good news. We don't have to worry about when our health turns wrong, when we lose a job, any of those things that this world can throw at us. It's good news because Jesus is here. He walks with us through those things. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." And Carlene mentioned it. It will be for all people. It's not just for us in this room. And it's such a blessing. One of the things that I love most about this church is you guys get it. You guys get it that it's not about Wiley Methodist Church. The good news isn't for Wiley Methodist Church. The good news is for all people. And we had Kalulu who came that shared from he was in Africa and I think he was 10 or 11 when he got his box. And this young man at the time, I think he's in his mid to late 30s now, but he accepted Christ over a shoebox. Good news of great joy for all people. In the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. So the angels were proclaiming this good news. 1 John says it this way, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." Do we get that? It's not what we can do for God. It's not our love for him. That's a response to what he has done for us, how he has loved us. It's not that we've loved God, but he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for us. So we have good news that is in the person of Jesus Christ. And this never is more relevant than when I do funerals, when you go to a funeral. And I did a funeral this past week. Mona Casey, who Mona had been a member of our church for decades and had not been able to come for the last few years because of health. But, you know, one of the things I share with families is the hope that we have in Christ. Christ gives us hope. I've done funerals where there wasn't hope. I've done funerals. I get a call from a funeral home, and they say, "Hey, this family doesn't have a church. Can you do a service?" And sometimes I do those services, and sometimes those families have Christ, and sometimes they don't. It is obvious when you walk in a room to talk to a family, do they have Jesus or not? In that moment, it is obvious because there's either hope and joy in the midst of the sadness and the grief of the loss, or there's no hope. We have good news, church, of great joy. That's what the angels were proclaiming. The second thing the angels did, the angels not only proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ, but they praised his holy name. They praised his holy name. God alone is worthy of our praise. And the angels, think about this now. People, again, I mentioned this last week, you'll hear people say all religions are basically the same and so on and so forth. No, because in Christianity, we understand that Jesus is God made flesh. Amen. He's Emmanuel, God with us. God with us, Jesus, Emmanuel. No, does any other religion proclaim that? And if we really get the essence of the message of Christianity, it is that God came down to be with us because he loves us. And because of that, they proclaimed the good news that Jesus was here and they praised his holy name. That's what the angels did. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared. So I just picture yourself, you're these shepherds and you're out in a field and this single angel appears to you and is proclaiming the good news, and then all of a sudden, here comes the troop. Then this great heavenly host, all of these angels appeared, and they began praising God, and they began saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on men whom his favor rest." I was watching a little video clip this week of a Christian comedian that I'd never heard of, and he's talking about how he hates people to say happy holidays, and that directed me to the deal because I do too. If you say happy holidays, you're not going to hell or anything like that. But I hate that. I hate that. You know, our companies, our businesses, they want to profit from Christmas, but they want to take Christmas out of it. They want, because Christ. And he was in his comedy routine. He goes, "I don't get it. Which part of the, you know, even if you're not a Christian, which part of Christmas do you not like? Is it the peace on earth or the goodwill towards all men? Which one of those is it that's offensive to you?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. It's the message of Christmas. The angels proclaimed the good news, and they praised his holy name. This was several years before the birth of Christ. The Isaiah the prophet, 700 or 800 years or so before Christ was born, and it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw this vision. I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings, and they were calling one to another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" When we encounter Christ, I'm just telling you, you can't help, when you have an encounter with Christ, you can't help but praise him. If you really and truly encounter him and understand who he is, the next thing that happens is praise. I remember that moment for myself, and I've shared this before, but it was, I was 31. It was just a couple of years ago. And I remember, I was a believer, and I'd gone to church all my life, and I'd been raised by a good mom and dad that taught me all the right stuff. But I remember when I encountered Jesus. That's a whole different thing than believing or worshiping, going to church or serving. It's a whole different thing to encounter Jesus Christ. And when that happened, for the first thing, in Isaiah has that moment too. And if you read on in chapter 6 of Isaiah, he talks about how he's encountered, he sees the Lord high and lifted up, and he's convicted. The first thing that happens is he's convicted, and he's like, "Woe to me, I am a man of unclean lips, living with a people of unclean lips." And what he's saying is, "I'm undone. I am not worthy to even be standing in the presence of this holy God." And yet, there he was. And the angels were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." When we encounter Jesus, praise follows. Okay, so that's the angels. So they shared the good news. They proclaimed the good news to the shepherds, the angels did. And then they all praised God. And what did the shepherds do? How did they respond? Well, let's see. The shepherds proclaimed the good news of Jesus. That almost sounds like point number one, doesn't it? It almost sounds like what the angels were doing. They said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word. Is this on? They spread the word concerning what had not only been told to them about the child, but what they had heard, and it was amazed, and they were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. There was this sharing, this proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ, and they all praised, and then the shepherds responded. They went and told people what they had seen and heard. It's almost like they're talking to us here, church. It's almost like they're saying something to us. And then fourthly, the second thing that the shepherds did, they praised his holy name. Almost sounds like point two, doesn't it? It almost sounds like the second thing that the angels did. They proclaimed the good news, and they praised his holy name, just like what had been shared to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. That was kind of that moment for me. It's like Mom and Dad had been taking me to church, and by that time I was an adult. But they had taken me to church all my life. They had taught me the right things. I'd sat in Sunday school. I'd listened to sermons. I had done all those things. And when I encountered Jesus, it was like, yeah, it's almost confirmation of all that I've seen and heard. Jesus really is real. He really did die for my sins. It seems as though the angels set an example for the shepherds that night. And perhaps the angels and the shepherds have set an example for us. It's a simple thing. We are to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and we are to praise his holy name. And what does that look like? I mean, what does it really look like? There's so many different ways we can do that. I use the phrase press into God, and that's kind of a general statement, press into God. Well, what is that? What is that, Pastor? Well, get into God's Word. Read His Word. Please don't rely just on what I tell you. I've shared this before, but many, many people died so this could be in our hands. It was that important. One, and I think somebody that's smarter than me can tell me without me maybe going back and studying my notes, but I think it was Heath. Was it Heathcliff? What was the guy's name that they? Wycliffe? Heathcliff was something else. Wasn't that a comic strip or something? Oh, Heathcliff. He's a good one. Wycliffe. Sorry, I hadn't looked at that in a while. They used Bibles that he had written as kindling to burn him at the stake. I'd say he thought this was pretty important for us to have. Read the Word. Don't take my word for it. See what God has to say about it. And did you know that God has an opinion on everything? All of our political stuff that's going on in our world, did you know God has an opinion? Every single thing, he has an opinion. And it's the only one that matters. So what is it? What does God have to say about it? Whatever it is, what does God have to say about it? Read the Word. Come to church. If this isn't the church for you, find one that believes in the Bible and preaches it, teaches it. Pray. Serve. So many of you, man, you're just servants. I'm not going to mention them or anything by name because I don't want to embarrass them, but there was three men this past week that all knew, sent out an email, boom, boom, boom. Served. Half of their day, just served. Live out your faith. Love others. Walk in integrity. Whatever your business is, conduct yourself with integrity. Pursue the things of the Spirit, not of the flesh. I was visiting with someone recently, and they were talking about, this is sad. This was a teenage boy who had just lost his father a while back and was talking with someone about that. And while they were talking to them about the trauma of that situation, they were looking at pornography on their phone. They discovered that. I'm like, what? I mean, that's stuff. Pursue the things of the Spirit, not the flesh. Because I promise you, the things of the flesh always bite us in the rear. Maybe I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. Right? Bite us in the flesh. Things of the flesh bite us in the flesh. How's that? We need a t-shirt. Things of the Spirit, when we pursue the Spirit, it never fails us. We're always blessed by that. Things of the flesh always lets us down. It is a trap. So we share the good news of Jesus Christ and we praise His holy name. And sometimes that's difficult. Cheryl and I were at Sam's this week and we're buying an item. And I'm not slamming Sam's because I love Sam's, but oh my goodness, it was like trained monkeys in the back trying to pull our order. I mean, it was awful. And we were there an hour trying to just buy one item at the customer service desk. And I'm telling you, it tested my faith. It tested my Christian witness. Because I'm wanting to, like, throw a stapler against the wall or something. But I held it together. I put a dent in my truck when I left. But no, I didn't. I'm just kidding. But man, we pursue, walk out your faith, pursue holiness. One of the things that I love about John Wesley that we forget, and we're forgetting it in our Methodist church these days, is I think if you could summarize his ministry, it was that we're saved by grace through faith. He was all about grace. He understood grace. But then the second piece, I think if you could, for me, as I read Wesley, is the next piece is then pursue holiness. Pursue holiness. Yes, we're saved by grace through faith. That's the gift of God, and it's a wonderful thing. But don't stay there. Pursue holiness. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And because of it, we praise His holy name. Our church purpose statement, is what I like to call it, is to anybody, come on, shout it out, somebody. Way to say it with gusto. Okay. Love it. Love God, love people, offer Christ. And that kind of summarizes, I think, who God has called us to be. We love God, and we do that by pressing into Him, by reading His Word, by coming to church, by praying for others, all those things. Loving people is the service and just being compassionate and caring in so many different ways, and to offer Christ. I tell our church when we go to the shoebox, go to pack shoeboxes, when we go distribute turkeys, when we go to the food pantry, when we build a house, when we give somebody a ride, when we help somebody around their house do different things, we're not just doing those things. We're sharing Jesus. We are an extension of Christ in the world. We are His ambassadors, is what 2 Corinthians tells us. We are the ambassadors for Christ. When we do it, we're doing it in His name. It's not about a turkey. It's about Jesus. And we try to tell those folks when they come out, it's like, you know, God loves you. He hasn't forgotten you. So, church, we are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and to praise His holy name. That's it. That's it. And if we keep doing that, and we do it better and better, I just, you know, someday, I don't know about you, someday when I come face to face with my Maker, we're all going to be there. We're all going to have to make an account, and I know so many ways I fall short, but one of the things I want to hear from him is, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that? Man, well done, good and faithful servant. The angels proclaimed the good news, and they praised his holy name. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being your people. Thank you that it's not about our love for you, it's about your love for us. And our love back to you is a response to what you have already done for us. That you love us, you sent your Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Father, if there's anyone here this morning, Holy Spirit, that doesn't get that, move on them. Move in their heart, move in their mind. Show them who you are. That you are the good news. And you are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.